I'm here today to talk to Spanish artist Jose Hernandez about his life in art and interpretations of beauty.
What I'd like to talk about first is a little bit about your journey through art, how you got started and how you've progressed to where you are today.
Yeah. Well, it is a long, it's a very long talk about this,
yeah.
But I will make it shorter. I say normally when I have this kind of question is that I was born for painting.
Okay.
I was born for painting in that age, in the pre-adolescence, you know. So this means that I began to paint spontaneously, and I never went to art school because
you didn't go.
No, because in my house, in my family, in my surrounding, they don't have any idea about that, no? These kind of things. They wanted to be. They wanted that to be architect, for instance, no? And obviously I decided to draw and paint, and that's all. And there were no more discussion about.
So you were allowed the freedom not to have to become an architect or a lawyer or a banker. Your parents let you paint?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, because when I was a little child, I was this is my souvenir. When I remember, I was very calm. I mean, very introverted, you know.
Introverted.
And I used to stay all the time in the corner of the room with some crayons and papers and just all, no?
Yeah.
No communication with anybody. So in the family or in any family, you know, this is better than starting breaking glasses with your football.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is the beginning of the beginning. Of course, drawing and painting, I had, this is a posteriori, you know, after, I had the impression that I was communicating with somebody or something. This was my sensation. No? So it was enough for me.
So you
I didn't need to communicate by words and going here and there or the school or.
Because the painting, you thought that you felt there was, you were communicating with people through the medium mm-hmm. of your art, mm-hmm. and that made you happy, and that was enough.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, mm-hmm. So I mean, were those initial drawings, in retrospect, were those initial drawings were they good quality? Did you know that you should continue this because it's good, or did you just continue because
I wanted to continue.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I had no element. Elements to judge my work, my own work, and this was not really a work. I don't had this sensation that I was working, I was playing, I was giving pleasure.
Yeah,
for me. So.
So you just carried on doing it because it was you enjoyed it.
Exactly.
And
yes.
Nobody, you didn't
no,
need
it,
to
it impress. Was, yes, it was. It was a game, at the same time of a necessity.
Necessity.
Exactly.
You needed to paint.
Yes.
Did you ever have any times when there wasn't access to being able to paint?
Well, I used to go to school like everybody.
Yeah.
To the school, and after that, coming back at home, I was in the corner, in my corner. That's
painting.
All. Yes.
Oh, okay. So then going forward.
It was very easy for my parents. Very comfortable.
They don't have to do
nothing,
too much. Yeah.
Nothing. Sometimes to buy some painting or crayons or.
Yeah. Okay. So going forward from there,
mm-hmm.
When was the first time that you really started to show people your work, or when did people first see your work?
Having conscience that I was working on something.
Yeah, because before you were doing it as a purely pleasurable thing, but of course you've now had a career in art. So at some point, mm-hmm. maybe there was a realization, or maybe a realization from somebody else that in fact you were producing beautiful art, and that maybe other people wanted to see what you were doing.
Yes, I didn't have any conscience that what I was working on. And at the same time, as any child, I used to read a lot.
Yeah.
And I had some books around, and little by little, I began to identify myself with this or that kind of literature. And I can say now, it was generally a romantic or post-romantic literature, and fantastic literature.
Oh, so fantasy novels. And you began to identify with those
Works. I took that another part of my work of my. I was comfortable with what I used to read. And of course, I rejected other books because it was nothing exciting for me.
So they
didn't stimulate my imagination.
So you started to read books, and mm-hmm. that meant that you understood certain books.
Mm.
The fantasy books. Mm-hmm. So that meant that you began to understand more who you were and who you were not.
Exactly.
And also that gave you additional inspiration. Did the ideas in the fantasy books, did that begin to aid your creativity?
Mm-hmm.
Did the ideas that you got and the images that you got from the books, they help you come think of new things to paint?
I found fortunately for me, and now I can say this, and not in that time, no, but certain or most of the literature I used to read in that time, I found it very familiar.
Okay.
So I was in my ambience, in my atmosphere, the atmosphere I wanted to be, no? But of course, I had no real conscience what I was doing.
It just felt natural. No, it felt like the right thing to
do. It was very familiar, and this, of course, became bigger and bigger. And after a while, after a certain time, I thought that this was my life.
Yeah. And what age?
And the
were
problem,
you?
Of course, the problem having this inclination, this direction. Sometimes I had to be in front of the reality.
Yeah.
The real reality, but my reality was enough for me. Mine.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So what age?
Little by little, you feel that you are building double personality, no?
Okay.
Schizophrenia.
Okay.
Technically, schizophrenia. Very light, but very, very interesting. Because inside I had a personality, and outside I was a citizen like others.
Yeah.
And of course, in my surrounding, in my family, we had, no money, nothing. We were a very modest family, so I had to begin to work.
Okay.
Very, very, very young. I was 11 years old.
And you'd left school?
Yeah. No.
Oh, no.
At the same time, night, I studied for school, and I painted at night. Everybody was in bed. So it means that I used to go to the school. I used to go on the bus.
Do everything normal?
Yes, normal. what you, we call normal.
Okay, okay. Like a okay. lot of other people would
you
do.
You know, we are yeah. entering little by little. So I was a good student. I know because I got a lot of prizes every week or months. And this, for me, these prizes doesn't had any sense, you know, because I thought that it was normal. If you study, you get a prize.
Yeah. No? Okay.
But for what this prize? For many people, was a stimulant. For me, it was nothing. I don't know.
So the real
I
interest.
Wanted to paint. This yeah. is clear.
Okay. So when did you move to a point? So this was 11. This was school and at the first parts of work. When did you get to the stage where you no longer had to go to school and no longer had to work and you could devote more time to art?
Well, this this is very easy to think, not so easy to explain.
Okay.
But, well, I was doing all that and I was, well, I added another thing. I have to say that, how you call it? Solitario, no?
Isolated?
No, solitario.
Isolation or enjoying being on your own.
Yes, because my character was introversion.
Yeah.
So at the same time, I was studying high school and early, very early in the morning, I used to go 2 hours before the school opened to practice gymnastics.
Yeah, gymnastics. Yeah.
I like it very much, but not in team sports. That alone.
Always alone. Yeah. Yeah.
And of course, all the time, you at this age you dream very much, many. Yeah? And I wanted to be an Olympic
gymnast. Yeah, yeah. Okay, so let's just finish up by talking a little bit about the topic of your lecture today, mm-hmm. In the Darwin Lecture Series, Beauty and the Grotesque. So the most obvious question would be, how do you interpret beauty? I mean, do you draw things that you think are beautiful? Do you draw things that you think other people are beautiful? Or do you just draw for some other reason? Just you draw what feels right?
Yeah, well, beauty is a concept, an abstraction, no? And you can't measure something. You can't measure how beautiful is this or that, no? So normally, the people makes a relation between beauty and a well done work.
Yeah,
this is a convention. This is nothing. This nothing. It doesn't mean anything to the concept of beauty. There is another convention that, as you know, beauty and good was, in the, I mean, very centuries ago. I mean, the relation beauty and good and ugly, bad.
Yeah, indeed.
So it was an equation very common. So I was I feel the rebellion always, no?
Yeah.
And I say, I was asking all the time, why? No? And what is beauty and what is ugly? And why they make this relation
between good
between
and
these
bad.
Terms, no?
Yeah. So,
it means that for me, everything has a relation, no? Of my painting, my preferences, and you know, and about beauty. For me, or for many people, no, beauty is this is very simple. Beauty is what you like and make you a pleasure for you. No?
Yeah. No? Yeah.
In I don't know exactly why the way, and what and the other thing you don't like and you reject and produces repugnance, no, or
yeah.
something.
And that's
this is ugly.
Or the grotesque.
The grotesque, in my opinion, is in the middle.
Okay.
It's between beauty and grotesque and ugliness, no.
Okay.
Because if you observe in your common life, practically all everything around you is more or less grotesque. Because grotesque comes from grotta, no? From the, how you call it, grotta? Cave, no?
Cave, okay.
So the cave of the paintings around the cave, it was not art, was certain necessity or chronicle of, you know,
yeah.
that people, no? So some...
it was just a record.
Exactly.
Yes. Rather than being art.
Yes.
So,
I mean that in our life, if you see around, things are more or less grotesque. No?
Yeah.
In this sense. No? So, is not necessarily ugly. It's shocking, is extravagant, is different. So, it is very difficult to establish. No, the list, like a scientist does
yeah,
with
yeah.
the system, is not exact. No, for you something for you could is can be beautiful, and not for me. No?
Yeah, this so it's an abstract concept.
Exactly. No, so it is difficult to put the limit of each concept. No. But for instance, the grotesque, the art, the grotesque art was for the Romans, for instance, it was for decoration, no? And the work was very well done. There were beautiful. In a certain way, but representing something strange, not the official. It was not the official beauty. No? The ugly. What is ugly? In the same way, the ugly is the contrary of the beauty.
Yeah.
I am not sure. I am not sure because in the
you think
in
there
the
might
baroque,
be universal ugliness.
Huh?
You think there might be universal ugliness
yeah.
that we all find ugly.
Because in the Baroque period, it was the exaltation of the ugly. And if you see the paintings or the works of the decoration or architecture, it's not true. It is there is a beauty, but different. So, for instance, in architecture, in the Romanesque period, if you see all these old cathedral, the Middle Age cathedral, you can see the gargoyle, you know, the gargoyle.
The gargoyle.
Have you seen the gargoyle? you know, is it terrible? Normally, there are very strange animals
yeah.
from the fantasy,
yeah.
etc. And in the capital, the capital of the columns of the architecture, it is absolutely terrifying. No?
Yeah.
Because they were you can see the very terrible and truculent stories. No. Morality, no, to show the people that the devil was up there, down. So be careful, because you know temptations and all these kind of things. The power use these images to produce fear
yeah.
in people,
yeah.
contain, no? Because for the power for the power, the first, the most important arm they have is to produce fear.
Fear, yeah. Huh? So art can be used as a political tool to strike fear into people's hearts.
So in this sense, because there are different lectures, no? Interpretation, in this sense, beauty was for was for producing a pleasure to people. No?
Yeah.
So.
So we've we've agreed that beauty can be interpreted in different ways. Yeah. So it's a good theme for.
As I say in my lecture, you'll see that grotesque is the other side, the not official beauty.
Okay. You know? Brilliant. Well, thanks very much for your insights and your stories.
I don't know.